Martha and Catherine. The reason I'm hesitating is because they're not standing in order. That's the only reason. But we're church planters here in the Phoenix area, and we're sent out of Gateway Baptist Church in Boiling Springs, South Carolina. How many of you could tell when I opened my mouth I was from the South? I mean, that was pretty evident, wasn't it? But we're certainly glad to be here. We're going to sing a song for you. Hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. February 2016, we moved from South Carolina here to Phoenix, and we started out by helping another church planter get started, and we worked with him for just over 20 months, and then we moved to a different work that had been established a little bit longer, and we worked with him for a little over a year, and oh, thank you, brother. We worked with them for just a little over a year, and then in February of 2019, we started the Gospel Light Baptist Church in the inner city of Phoenix, over off of Dunlap and 31st at Cortez High School is where we were meeting. And from the get-go, it was very difficult to get started. It took us a while before we started seeing people come, and then we had this thing called COVID come by. I don't know if you heard of that. But we certainly, everybody heard of that, but we had to quit meeting in the high school, and so after the high school opened back up, we had to start over. So we started over. Again, it took us a while before we started to see some people coming, and once we started seeing some people coming and things started looking like a church, then I started to meet with the people. and discussing with them what is expected about being a church, what a church is, and what this Bible teaches about being a church. You know, the Bible says that in the last days, there'll be people that want to have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. The valley is full of those churches, and we're not interested in starting churches like that. And so I was very clear that we're going to stand on this King James Bible, and we're not going to depart from it. I had some pressure to depart from the King James, and we're not going to do that. And so just my stand alone, we lost most of the people that were coming. We had just one family that stayed with us and one young man. And that family eventually decided they wanted to move outside this city, and so they moved away. So we were left with just one young man. And so I talked with him, as I was praying and trying to decide what we're going to do, we decided to have services for him in my home on Sunday night. He was only able to come on Sunday night, so we had services for him. During that time of prayer, trying to figure out what God wanted me to do, a pastor friend of mine came over and was praying with me. He pastors the East Valley Baptist Church in Tempe, and he'd already been sending people to help me try to get the church established. He asked me if I'd be willing to try to start again. And so I said, yes, we can do that. He wanted to try to start a Bible study. So in January of 2024, we started a Bible study, and we were having that Bible study in Cortez High School. Again, things started going well. We have two young men that got saved during that Bible study. Some of the people from that Bible study started coming to our services on Sunday night. In August of that year, we baptized three. We had our first baptismal service. It was such a blessing. I began to disciple a couple of those young men and to teach them the Bible. And shortly after that, one quit coming, then another quit coming, then another quit coming. And then people just started falling off and losing interest in the Bible study and in the church. And so sadly, our last Bible study, we closed it down, was December of 2024. And our last service in my home was last Sunday of January 2025. And so the thing about it is that I understand that I'm probably the only church planter that you'll see get up, stand and tell you that they've been on the field for 10 years and don't have a church plant to show for it. But, you know, the Bible also talks about Jesus going into a place called Nazareth, and that they were offended at him, and that he could do no mighty work there. The Bible also says that Jesus was, he marveled at their unbelief, and he couldn't do a mighty work there except heal a few folk and move on. What that tells me is that there's a lot of people that aren't ready to hear the gospel. There's areas that aren't ready to hear the gospel. In the 10 years that we've been in Phoenix and trying to minister to the inner city there, we've seen about four other attempts to start a church in and around that area, and there's no church there today. But we're not giving up. God has gotten us here. God wants us to start a church here. And so what we're doing is we're setting our sights on Santan Valley, Queen Creek area, and we are wanting to start a Bible study there. It's one of the fastest growing communities inside one of the fastest growing counties in America today. But all of this area is fast growing. We're just talking about that. But there's one independent Baptist church located over there, but they are not a King James only church. They are not a soul winning church. And so we believe it'd be a great opportunity to start a church there. And so we're going to our goal is to try to get a Bible study started there around January of next year and see if we can get a church started off of that. We're not even giving up on Phoenix and the inner city. And what we'd like to see is if we could get some churches started, get a coalition of churches that would be willing to fast and pray and send forth laborers to infiltrate that city for the Lord, I believe that it can be done. You know, Satan has strongholds in certain areas, and that definitely is one of them. We've seen some things that we don't have time to discuss today, but we've been there for 10 years, and we've seen a lot, and we've seen devil working. And so we just ask that you prayerfully consider supporting our ministry as we're trying to, in this endeavor to try to start a church. in the Santan Valley area, at least pray for us. Our display's right over here. Please stop by and pick up a prayer card and pray for our family. Well, thank you. Thank you, brother. Go ahead and preach. Okay. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Mark chapter 4. Please bear with me. I've been in youth retreat all week and preaching and singing, and I'm going to try to preach to you the best I can with the voice that I have left. Mark chapter 4, and if you don't mind, if you would stand as we read the Bible in our text. Mark chapter 4, beginning verse 1, the Bible says, "And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground, and did yield fruit. It sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure, but for a time afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The parable that we just read is commonly called the parable of the sower. And as you may know, many times Christ used parables to teach some kind of spiritual truth. And a parable is simply a Bible truth, a short story, or a saying that is used to illustrate a biblical teaching. Now, in this parable of the sower, we learn the various responses to the word depend upon the condition of man's heart. As Jesus is explaining this miracle, this meaning of the parable, he makes it clear that the word that is being sown here is the Word of God. And he refers to the different types of soil as being different, a different condition of the heart. There is that soil that is by the wayside. It's callous. It's unaccepting of the Word. Satan comes down like a bird, immediately snatch that seed right out of the heart. We know people like that, or we've seen people like that, right? We've been trying to witness to them, and it seems that they're callous and unaccepting, and they don't want to even hear what you have to say. And then there's the stony soil, and this is the seed that has just a little bit of dirt in there, and the seed falls down into the cracks of the rocks. It's got a little bit of dirt in there, and it sprouts up quickly. But when the sun comes by, and it begins to bear down on that plant, it withers away because it doesn't have a good root system. It's not fully established into the ground. We've definitely seen people like that, haven't we? People who maybe been out of church for a long time, or you speak to them and they come into the church and it seems like things are going well for them and they're just so excited. But then some kind of tribulation comes, some kind of trial comes in their life, and then all of a sudden, they're gone. You can't find them anymore. Then Christ mentions the thorny soil, and I'll come back to that because that's the focus of my message here tonight. And then lastly, Christ talks about the good soil. And this is the heart that gladly receives the Word of God. And this heart allows the Word of God to grow him. And this is the man, I believe, that's described in Psalm 1 where it says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." That's what we should strive for. We should strive to be that type of person that when we come in, we sit down and we hear the Word of God preached, that we are just soaking it up and we're just letting it get in our heart and work in our lives. We should be the type of people that we just freely open the Word of God and allow the Word of God to move us and to grow us. But sadly, there's so many lives that are characterized by this thorny soil that's mentioned here. This seed that is sown here is sown in soil that is corrupt. Now, this is not talking about it's not talking about seed that had been sown among thorns, because this is saying that the seed had been sown in thorny soil. Because no farmer is going to come up to a bunch of weeds and then start casting seed into there and expect it to grow up. But what he's talking about is this land has already been cleared and all the briars and all that stuff has been taken out of the way, but the roots are still there in that soil. That soil is corrupt. And so when he sows seed there, it begins to come up, but then the weeds and the thorns and stuff start coming up with it. And the Bible says that it will choke that seed out. That's what happens when you try to sow seed among thorny soil. That word choke, it means to strangle completely, to drown, or to suffocate. Thorns choke the seed by being allowed to coexist with the seed. You see, these thorns are just like sin. And sin will drain away our energy so that we have nothing left to give God and we're not growing. In verse 19, Christ gives three things or thorns that can hinder the Word of God from being fruitful in a man's life. And I want to ask you this question here tonight. Are you living among the thorns? Are you living among the thorns? We must be careful that we don't allow thorns to hinder our Christian growth. Let me ask you this in another way. What's choking the Word of God in your life? What is making the Word of God unfruitful in your life? Now, I want to be clear about this because the Bible is definitely clear about this. Jesus said the seed is the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with a seed. There's nothing wrong with a seed. Oh, and by the way, every man, every different type of soul that he mentions, he says he heard the word. Nothing wrong with the seed, but there is something wrong with the heart. There's something wrong with the soul of man's heart. We see that a lot, but you know, there's things that can even hinder our lives from growing. First thing that we see that Christ mentions, he talks about worries. In verse 19, he says, "In the cares of this world." Now, we all have cares of this world. In fact, Jesus, I believe he acknowledged the fact that we have cares in this world. He talks about the cares that we care about, the things that we care about in Matthew chapter 6. But you know what he talked about, the cares of this world? You know what he said? He said, take no thought for the things that you eat or the things that you're going to wear. He said, your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so God knows that we have things that we care about. We've got work. We've got children to attend to. We've got, the list goes on. Your list may be just as long as mine or longer. We all have things that we care about. But what God is saying here is he doesn't want the things that we care about and the worries of this world to keep us away from God and allowing him to have his will in our lives. Because if we get up in the morning and we get busy and we start doing stuff and then all of a sudden, you know, we realize, I hadn't read my Bible today. Because I was so busy doing this and doing that. Now listen, I want to make it clear. God's not angry with you for not reading your Bible. But when you do read your Bible, that's when God can grow you and help you. You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him. Why? Because he careth for you. I want you to turn, if you would please, hold your place here, but turn to Luke chapter 10. I want to show you something that I think it's a good illustration about what we're talking about here. Luke chapter 10, look in verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. That's important. She heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Here we have two people, same circumstance, same house. One is sitting at the feet of Jesus and allowing the Word of God to come into her heart and to grow her. The Bible says she's chosen that good part and it shall not be taken away from her. But the other one, same house, same situation. You know what she's doing? She's cumbered and troubled about many things, Jesus says. And you know what she begins to do? She was saying, Lord, don't you even care? Why don't you tell Martha to come, or Mary to come help me? Don't you even care? We need to be careful that we don't allow the cares of this life to take us away from having a right relationship with the Lord. Because if we allow those things in our life to hinder our relationship with God, we'll start blaming God for the things that are coming in our life. That's what Martha started doing. Jesus said, you're careful and troubled about many things. You know, the best thing that we can do is allow the Word of God in our lives to comfort us. I can't tell you how many times, Brother Cook, that I've been just in the prayer room. And I've had things on my heart. And I've just been bearing those things out to God. But then there's been times I just take the Word of God and I start opening it up and just reading it. Just reading it out loud. Talking to God about it. What a blessing it is to get comfort from the Scriptures. Notice that Christ said that Mary not only chose that good part, but it'll never be taken away from her. She allowed the Word of God to take root in her life and to bear fruit. And to this day, we're talking about the influence, the blessing of that. And God will take care of your daily cares when you seek His interest first. And so, don't let the cares of this life take you away from a right relationship with God and growing in the Lord. I remember speaking to some woman several years ago. And you know what she told me? It was almost, she had the attitude like Martha did in this scripture. She said, "I'm mad at God because he hadn't answered my prayer about healing my," whatever it was, "healing me." You know, sometimes we have infirmities of the flesh, don't we? And that can definitely have its weight on us. But it should not be such a worry and a care in our lives that it makes us bitter and angry at God. The Bible says in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be careful for what? Nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, amen, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What a blessing. I love that peace of God. Does everything go to suit you? Does everything go to suit you? I don't think I've lived a day where everything's going to suit me. But I've got peace in my heart. I know this is going to be okay because I'm his child. And by the way, let me just tell you, if nobody's told you in a while, God cares for you. God loves you. And he wants to be there close to you in the midst of your trial. Hey, you know what? God would gladly go with you to the workplace. God would gladly go with you when you're going out to do things. God would gladly go with you along the way. All you got to do is invite him. All you got to do is just get close to him. He says, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. You know what? It sounds like you've got to make the first step. The cares of this life are not supposed to take us away from God and his word, but often they do. And if you allow God's word to change your life, you'll notice that the cares of this life have little effect on your relationship with God. And that's where we need to be. So he talks about worries. Second thing he mentions here is wealth. Back in our text in Mark chapter 4, he said in verse 19, he says, the cares of this world. And then he says, and the deceitfulness of riches. Riches do deceive us, don't they? There's a lot of people in this world think they can get something for nothing. And riches deceive us. But when wealth takes hold of a person, he won't bear fruit spiritually. Now, let me be careful to say this. I'm not saying it's wrong to have money. I'm just saying it's wrong for money to have you. You know, we don't decide what we're going to do for the Lord or what we're not going to do for the Lord based on money. And so, some people may say, well, Pastor, I don't have a lot of money, so I don't have to worry about that thorn in my life. Y'all know we're surrounded by casinos, right? I've never been in one. I'll just go ahead and tell you that. Don't plan on ever going in one. But they're full of people just like you and me. They don't have a lot of wealth. But they're deceived thinking that they can get it. And so we just need to be careful that we don't allow the things of this world to influence what we're doing for the Lord. And if you think that you're immune to it, the deceitfulness of riches, you've already been deceived. Because they definitely can. notice, I don't know if you've noticed this, but we're not going to turn to it, but in Deuteronomy, the Bible, God told kings not to increase into themselves riches and women and horses. He said, because I don't want you to leave me. And nearly every king failed in that because they got riches to themselves and women and horses and they put their trust in their own selves. And that's exactly what happens if we allow riches to deceive us, is that we put our trust in the riches instead of God. We need to be careful about that. The Bible says, 1 Timothy 6:9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. So he talks about worries, then he talks about wealth, and then the last thorn that he mentions here is worldliness. Back in Mark 4:19, he says, and the lust of other things entering in. The lust of other things entering in. You know, I hate to even say this or admit it, but the very fact that we live in this body of flesh indicates that we all have some kind of lust. We all lust after something. And I don't know what that may be for you, but we all have something that we are, that our flesh desires. And we're living in a day where the pleasures of sin, the lust of the flesh, are given great priorities in this life. Once you're snagged by this thorn, it will grow rapidly and dominate your life. And we must be careful that we don't allow the lust of other things to enter into our lives and choke the word. The word lust means a desire for that which is forbidden. And I can recognize this in my own life. There's been times in the past where I've had something that I've desired, and even sitting in church when the pastor's preaching, that's all I'm thinking about. I've had that happen in my own life. And so we need to be careful of that. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Hold your place here. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. We're talking about Israel here. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I like that last part there. Take heed to yourself. If you think that you stand and that you are incapable of being tempted with some kind of lust, you better take heed because you might fall. You better be careful thinking that you're immune to some sin. But here he's talking about Israel here as they were in bondage in Egypt. The Bible says God led them out with a high hand. They saw all the plagues that God had brought down onto Egypt. When they came out, they came toward the Red Sea, and God parted the Red Sea for them. They witnessed that with their own eyes. They came out, and they went to Mount Sinai, and that's where God gave them the law, and Moses told them, don't touch the mountain. Don't even think about touching the mountain. You're going to die. They heard the thunder of God from the top of that mountain. They saw the smoke. They saw all these things happen. But as soon as Moses has gone up there for a few days, they said, we don't know what's going on with this Moses. We don't know if he's even coming back. Aaron, why don't you just make us some gods? That's how quick. They turned from seeing the miracles of God. I mean, God fed them manna. God gave them water in the wilderness. And then they, just that quick, and they turned their back on God and started worshiping. And then Aaron says, these are the gods that brought you out of Egypt. And then he lied about how he got there. Just that quick. And if we're not careful and allow the Word of God to grow us, we'll turn on God just that quick. If you're not in this Word every day and allowing the Word of God to bear fruit in your life, you could turn on God just that quick. We're in danger. You know why I know that? Because that's what it said here. These are examples unto you, so you won't do the same thing. Listen how the Bible describes us before salvation. This is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We must be careful that if we don't allow the Word of God to have the proper place in our life, that we're going to allow the flesh to take over. Listen, you're either feeding the flesh or you're feeding the spirit. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, he says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit lusts against the flesh, and these two are contrary one to the other. And by the way, there's no amount of compromise between the two. They can't stand each other. And you're either feeding the flesh or you're feeding the spirit. But they're both tugging on you to go one way or the other. In Psalm chapter 106, we'll close out here. Psalm chapter 106, if you would turn there. I alluded to this just a minute ago. Psalm 106, look in verse 13. It says, they soon forget his works. That's what I was alluding to just a moment ago. The children of Israel forget what God had done for them. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. That's a sad place to be, leanness of soul. You know, God is not about to make you do anything. He's not about to make you grow. And he very well could just allow something in your life, but just give you leanness of soul. What does leanness of soul mean? No growth. No fruit. No happiness. You won't be happy with anything other than God. I promise you that if you're a child of his. You know, I'm reminded, I just kind of think of the guy who wants that truck. You know, he says, if I could just have that truck. Man, if I could just get that truck, I'd be happy and I don't want anything else. He schemes and tries to get that truck, tries to work for it. Now, it's not wrong to have a truck, but you know, this guy's scheming. He's trying to, he's like, man, I just gotta have it. Something his flesh just wants. He finally is able to go down to the car lot. He orders his truck. He gets all the bells and whistles on it and gets that thing decked out. And the whole time he's thinking about, man, I can't wait for that truck to come by. When it's delivered, he goes down the car. He said, yeah, it's here. Sits down in that truck. Smells nice. Looks at all them buttons. Guys are just fascinated with buttons. And all kinds of things loaded out on that truck. He's like, man, I got it. I'll be happy with this. I won't need another thing. I got my truck. Pulls off the car lot. Goes down to the next traffic light. He's sitting there waiting. He's like, man, this is awesome. And then this guy in a truck pulls up right next to him. He looks at him and he said, I should have got that one. You know what that is? That's leanness of soul. Our flesh is never satisfied. We've got to have something else. We've got to just keep on more and more. Listen, if you're a child of God, best thing you can do is get in this book. Allow the Word of God to get in your heart and to grow you. And that's where true satisfaction comes. Now, as we close tonight, I want to ask you, are you living among the thorns? The idea here is that Christ says that the worries and the wealth and the worldly lust are strangling the Word of God in man's life. And this person is more concerned about holding on to some thorn rather than the spiritual life. This person's heard the Word of God. This person knows what is right, but instead he would rather cling to these thorns. Are you living among any of those thorns? You ever thought about where thorns come from? They come from the curse. But there was a man one day who hung on an old rugged cross, and as he hung there, there was a crown of thorns on his head. He hung there for our curse. And what's a blessing to know is that even if we are hung up by one of these thorns, that man that hung on that old rugged cross can take those thorns away. All we got to do is come to him and repent. And so if you have some kind of thorn in your life here tonight, why don't you ask God to take it away? Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray you work in our hearts. Lord, if there's some kind of thorn that we're struggling with, would you help us to get rid of it? Work in our hearts and lives. Help us, Lord, not to let things, these thorns, choke the Word of God in our lives. We'll thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Pastor, you come.